up on you when you're out of control. You got static on the brain and you're losing control. Now, and you got a problem that you don't know how to solve. So you call the punks and they figure it out.
Hey, punk rocker. Scene bringing you down? Need a little advice? We've all got punk problems sometimes. That's why we started this new show, You've Got a Problem. I'm Erin Yankee.
And I'm Arwen Curry. On this week's show, we'll talk about punk transiency, punk dating, sexist a-holes at the record store, and how to keep your drink from spilling in the pit.
So stay tuned. You can reach us with your punk problems by calling 206-600-1030 or sending an email to punkproblems@gmail.com.
Hello, caller. Do you have a punk problem that we can help you with today?
My name's Steve, and I'm calling from Providence, Rhode Island. I'm a 27-year-old punk rocker. And I guess lately I've been just wondering a lot about the idea of punk mobility and how it's almost too easy for us within the subculture to up and move to a different town or a different scene and sort of count on the fact that we'll be able to have immediate group of friends and a social circle and all that, which, you know, ultimately is a good thing, but I feel like it stunts people a little bit as far as putting themselves out there to make other kinds of relationships and friendships when they get to a new place. And I'm wondering what you all have to say about that.
That's definitely a big question. Because you don't want to take anything away from the fact that punkers have worked really hard to be able to escape from where we're from and to go to places where we can be more like who we dream of being, who we want to be. But if we move to places in order to have a cookie cutter existence, it definitely is easy to stunt yourself.
Or it may be that you're living that part of the dream where you're becoming yourself and you're moving to these places, but then you're not really putting down any roots there and you're not really creating a relationship with the real place that you are. So it becomes, in a sense, these kind of, you know, fantasy transitory groups of people, you know, and in that case, what distinguishes you from, like, I'm not going to say dead, I am going to say deadheads, but, you know, what, you know, people who move around, kind of their purpose is something greater. They don't, maybe they're in Philadelphia for a couple of years, but they don't really live in Philadelphia any more than they might have lived in Minneapolis. So that's a very good question. I think we've done a lot of work to establish a network, not only to leave the places we're from, but to go places and be welcomed, you know, and know where to go and, like, pick up on the signals and figure out where we belong really quickly. My thinking is maybe we all should put a little more thought into where we want to be at a certain point. I think a few years of roaming around is one thing, but at a certain point you want to sit somewhere for a while.
And I think part of the way that I've always looked as punk has been as a place where you get revitalized and supported and energized, and you get to, it's a cathartic place where you get to get things off of your chest and you get to scream and freak out and engage in the world in this really visceral way, and then you use that faith and that strength to go out to the normals and to do exploring and investigating and learning in that way. And then when you get beaten up at your job, that your shitty job that you have to live, and you have the punk scene to provide you with that, like, the fuel to live, punk is a very large component of life, but it's, you can't get all of your answers out of one thing. Even punk, and even the punk rock advice people, Arwen's nodding. We're always here for you to come back. We've proven that over the years.
We may have strayed pretty far into the theoretical, Steve.
No. I think you all are saying what maybe folks like me need to, you know, we all need to be reminded of, just like you're saying, we work so hard to make it our 24/7, but that's a real luxury point at this point, and it's good to remember that it's just fuel for the rest of the world and not kind of the whole world collapsing in on you is the punk scene, you know?
That's, I think, the challenge that you get into, at least what I've noticed, and people in their 30s a little bit more, is how do you keep that engagement? Because what I found is that it's really important to keep that engagement with the punk scene. It's not something you want to let go of, but you, mm-hmm. you're also trying to set down roots and really be a part of the rest of the community and the world that you live in and still get the most out of that network that we've set up. It's a fun, exciting challenge.
It is an exciting challenge. Well, thanks for calling, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
All right, caller, you're on the line. Thanks for calling. You've got a problem.
Hey, thanks for helping me out with my woes. I work at a record store, and overall, it's pretty awesome. Everyone comes in, really cool, sweet, open-minded, have you. Awesome folks. But every now and then, like today, for instance, you get this one guy who looks at you like you're completely stupid because you're not old, you're not a dude, and he looks at you and he's just like, where is Judas Priest at? And I'm like, in the metal section. And he goes and looks. We happen to be out of Judas Priest. And he comes back and he's like, where else would it be besides the metal section? And then you tell him maybe rock, and then he just kind of overlooks you and then looks at your boss and then asks your boss because he thinks you're stupid. What do you do in that kind of situation?
It should be in the metal section. What's he getting at? That's stupid.
I know, man. Like, Rob Halford would totally punch a dude in his face if he said that it was in the metal section.
You said it.
Yeah. What did your boss do?
He kind of just, like, shrugged and said metal.
There's
but
always...
it didn't really fix my aggravation. Like, I still felt like that dude thought I was, like, some fool or something.
Yeah, which I bet he did, especially as a... female working in a record store, and you said not old, but how old are you?
I'm 20.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes especially are going to assume that you don't know what you're talking about right off the bat. And it's always satisfying to show them up and be right, but even when you're not right, you gotta learn to curb that that incredible anger, or else take it out in the right way.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot that you can do to change that dude's mind, because obviously he's a fucking idiot. And if he's not willing to listen to you, then there's a lot of people around I'm sure he's not willing to listen to. So he's kind of hopeless. And the most that you can do is to then, like, channel that anger that he has given you and channel it into something that is awesome. Say band practice.
Exactly. Lots of fucking cool punk rock bands with women in them and without have been founded on this exact type of bullshit behavior.
I guess it's true. I never really thought about it like that.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what we have. And as you know, as for now, we know where Judas Priest records go, don't we?
The
fucking metal section.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Hello, caller, you're on the line. What is your punk problem today?
Hi, my name is Marjorie, and I'm 26 from Portland, Oregon, and I had a punk rock question. As I get older, I find that there are less and less punks for me to date. Must I resign myself to a life of celibacy or become some sort of gross chicken hawk? But it is gross to be a chicken hawk.
That is true.
Do you want to elaborate? I know what you mean, but on the term chicken hawk and why you might feel like that was one of your only options?
Because it's like such a vast age difference, and there's always a lot of young punks. But when you get older, people sort of drop out of the scene, and then you're still punk, and you kind of still like to date other punks. For some people that I know, it feels like it's not an option to them anymore. And they start doing, like, online dating and not meeting anybody. And they're really miserable. And then the chicken hawk thing is gross just because, like, I don't know, you're in your 30s. And you're dating somebody who's, like, 15, 16, 17, which is a huge gap in where you're at in life. And kind of, like, taking advantage of them. because there's a lot that they don't know that they're still figuring out that you kind of have a clue about.
We also, when it's the older male to young female, have called that child bride syndrome.
Child bride syndrome. Good.
Well, yes, I'm familiar with this quandary. It is a problem. It is a punk rock problem. One of the questions is, how young is too young?
Yeah.
It's not really the heart of your question, but it's true that there are a lot more people in their 20s, you know, who are into punk than in their 30s.
Yeah. How young is too young? Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I feel like there's maturity levels as part of the question, because I've met some really mature teenagers, but...
That sounds so gross.
It still sounds so gross.
I think the teenagers are
totally,
off limits.
Totally
I mean,
does.
That's how I feel. The teenagers mm-hmm. are, unless you're a teenager.
You shouldn't be dating a teenager unless you're a teenager.
That's right.
And I think that the punk rock dating thing, well, this is one of the comforts that I take as a older punk rock woman trying to date punk rockers, because I really can't date non-punk rockers.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and dating ex-punks is as close as it gets, because at least they have a fundamental understanding. But dudes who are ex-punks, it's a little weird. Anyway, that's an aside. But you just got to stay interesting and, you know, people break up. And you don't, like, hope or wish or make that happen. But, you know, like, there are, there still should be people around available for dating. And we have more baggage, but we have more experience. So as an older punk rock dater, I feel like you just kind of get resigned to, well, this is too young. This is my standards. This is my rules. And as much as you, like, get drunk and decide that maybe something's not important because of that, you know, hot punk boy across the room, then you always sort of wake up and be like, no, I did have that rule for a reason. Oh, well, staying active and staying in the scene and not hiding out is the best way to keep dating punks, I think.
That is good advice.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's like the general, you know, the best way to approach it is just to be interested in talking to everybody, like whether or not you look at them and consider them like an option for someone to date from the looks of them or because they're the right age or, you know, they look good to you or whatever. But also whether they're a girl, whether they're, if you generally like boys or whatever, just to kind of approach things that way, you're much more likely to find those opportunities where they are, because they are there, definitely.
All right.
All right.
Next question.
Oh, less and less of my friends are staying in the punk scene. And I still am friends with these people, but it's like harder for us to do stuff in common that's fun for both of us. And it's like kind of frustrating sometimes. I'm still like true to who I am and like my values. But it's hard when, like, you're hanging out with your ex-punk friends who are now, like, totally not punk, and they have totally different values, and they, like, start passing these judgments on you because, like, they forgot where they came from. The whole retaining your excitement about punk and being a punk in the face of people that you went through a lot with dropping out.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think that sometimes people move on. People move on for different reasons, but sometimes when they move on and they're kind of shitty about it and they're kind of like jabbing you about you're too punk rock for that, I guess, or whatever it is, little things
yeah.
like that. It's that same kind of defensiveness that your, you know, whatever grandparents use on you for not eating meat or something. You know, it's a kind of defensiveness because they feel that you're judging them, you know.
Yeah.
For having changed. If you do judge them for having changed, that's one thing, and maybe that's something to talk out. But if you just are happy to let them do what they're doing and you just want to stay true to who you are, then I don't know. Maybe you can make it clear to them that you don't judge them.
Yeah.
More of the practical tool of hanging out with the dropout friends is I had a lot easier time hanging out with them when we didn't go out at night.
That might be the key.
afternoon coffee dates or lunch or bike riding or whatever. Like, it doesn't have that same cultural pressure as trying to do some nighttime entertainment thing where they don't want to go to the show, but you don't want to go to, you know, the bar. And there's the tension there that just is like, you're, you know, that's where it gets kind of personal.
People try to take you out dancing. You don't want to go dancing.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't want to go dancing.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying. I wish people would not ask me to go dancing.
Yeah, I think that not hanging out at night might totally be the answer, because when we've just gone on trips to the beach and stuff, and there's just, like, no pressure. It's the beach. Everybody has fun at the beach.
Right. You didn't go to the punk beach, and you didn't go to the ex-punk beach.
And maybe, you know, your friendship can go to a different level where you go, what do I have in common with this person? And if it was only bands, and if it was only, like, something that you've lost, then that's a problem. But maybe you both were totally into, like, sci-fi movies or, you know, local literature or whatever. And those are the places where you can connect, and you just kind of let the rest fall off.
Yeah. And then this is the last one. I feel like a jerk for only primarily listening to bands from 5 years ago, yet the majority of, like, the new punk I'm having a hard time getting into. Is it because the bands suck, or is it me?
Do the bands totally suck?
Because you've been exposed to 5 years of bands, the second 5 years of bands has to be, you know, you hear the Ramones, and then you hear the local Ramones-style band, and that's exciting, and then you hear the touring Ramones band, and that's totally cool, and then you hear the other touring Ramones band, and then you hear the other local, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, the initial exposure is always exciting. The first bands you get into are always the best bands for me, you know? So, not that you still can't have your heart open to the new ones, but it's harder to get into your heart, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true kind of across the board about getting older. Is it works, you know, as far as romantic stuff goes, too. It's like you become pickier because you're not as open to everything as you used to be, and you know better what is actually really, truly awesome for you. So that means that you're harder to please, but you're much more refined in your taste. And it's really, it's a pretty good place to be. It means that a band has to be really fucking awesome for you to like them.
So yeah, they do have to try harder, and you will find less bands that you like, but the bands that you like, they really earned that, you know? So
yeah.
Then you'll love them.
So like
exactly.
Maybe even you'll stay stoked on them longer.
Forever, sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Forever love with the punk rock band.
Serious.
Yay.
Okay, yet another punk problem coming in. So what is your problem? What can we help you with today?
Hi, my name is Meredith. I'm calling from tour from on the road from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Meredith.
I'm originally from New York.
And you have a punk rock problem.
I have two punk rock problems that are both tour related.
All right.
Okay, the first one is that there have been no shows between San Francisco and Denver, Colorado. And we tried flying a sign, and it didn't go well. And I was wondering if you had any advice on how to properly fly a sign and get the most money that you can out of that situation.
Okay, we need to define some lingo here. Fly a sign?
To take a piece of cardboard and write a message on it to the people that encourages them to give you money due to your sad state of affairs.
Where are you flying the sign?
I'm at major gas stations like Flying J's and Petro, where gas costs about $4.50 a gallon.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about how the punk scene's going to deal with touring and gas prices, for sure. And I think this summer is the first summer that we're actually playing it out, and we're going to see how it affects us and what we're going to do about it. So, in a sense, you're a lab rat, Meredith, out there on the road.
I got to tell you, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I bet.
It doesn't feel good.
Well, you know, there was there's this whole phenomenon, which it used to be in New York, right? With the squeegee punks and that kind of stuff. And of course happens in you know, major cities all over the world. Like, can I wash your windshield for a few bucks for gas? And of course, everybody feels a little bit like they're being ripped off right now. So it's not as easy, I think, at the moment to get money off of people as it was probably just a few months ago.
Provide them a service.
Probably trying to get money at a gas station is about is just kind of a poor choice of location. But it seems like being able to, even if the punks can't help the local punks out there, because there's punks between San Francisco and Denver, even if they can't do a show, you can drive up to their house and sell records or T-shirts too. You know, it's like, you guys don't have to put on a show for us, but if we can pull off the highway and still sell you shit, you know, that might help.
True.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if you know the folks along the way, of course, you also probably use some gas getting in and out of those towns, but
yeah.
Yeah. It's like blood.
It is. Also, just like selling non-punk items in a punk way, you know, things you can, maybe you have food stamps as a resource, so you can buy some food stampable items, sell them for actual cash, and use that cash for gas money.
Great idea.
You can also sell, if you have a merch table that you're doing at the shows, you can try to sell just, you know, same stuff, like granola bars or whatever the hell you can get with the food stamps. And also, you know, depending on, again, where you are, you might be able to sell some used books or, you know, zines, whatever. Stuff that you kind of aren't really paying for on the other end and aren't too heavy.
You said books, huh?
Books, yeah.
I misunderstood you, and first thought you said drugs, and then I thought you said used drugs, and I thought that sounded like a terrible idea.
Yeah, these drugs are slightly used, but they're still really good. I mean, day-old drugs.
Next thing you're going to suggest use condoms. I just don't know how this will work.
You could sell condoms. Not, except if you're in San Francisco, they have to be free. In fact, they should just be free. But
they should just be free.
Yeah.
Free condoms will get people to your merch table.
Especially if people are drunk, yeah. Are you ready for part two question?
Yeah.
We are.
Now, this is a question that I think you'll be able to help me out with a lot. And, you know, for the ladies that have been on tour, I feel like this is an age-old dilemma of the tour ladies, which is, you're not showering a lot. You're not changing your underwear a lot. What can you do to avoid any nasty situations down there, you know, in the vagina area?
Yeah.
Without having to end up putting garlic up your cooch by the end of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
And age old. Common problem.
Age old, indeed.
Absolutely. Prevention. You know, two pairs of underwear. Wash them out. One dries when you're wearing the other one.
Yeah.
You know?
I really don't suggest more than 2 days with one pair. And I'm a big fan of the 2 minute gas station, wherever you are, like sponge bath. You put a little something down on the ground to catch the drips. You just soap it up, rinse it out. It drips a little on the floor. Clean that shit up. Put on the clean underwear. It takes 2 minutes.
Then take 30 more seconds and wash out
the old underwear.
And then, you know what? Those fucking dudes, if they're going to give you shit for drying out your underwear in the van, you know, they'll have to put up with worse later.
Yeah, for real. Besides, it's kind of hot.
Garlic out of your cooch if they don't.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I am wearing a pair of underwear right now made by Janelle with Joey Ramone on the ass. If you get one of these pairs, which are pretty limited, they're just cotton underwear with Joey Ramone on your ass, and you use them in the van, there's nothing that anyone can do to complain.
Yeah, I mean, they're just looking at Joey Ramone.
Exactly.
What is there to say? I wish I knew this 30 hours earlier when I was in the Bay Area.
Yeah, well, sorry.
And also, I think part two kind of answers part one, because selling underwear, turning regular underwear into punk underwear.
For real.
Hell yeah.
Do that shit.
Yeah.
The ladies of the punk scene, we can just have like a matching underwear army that you sell, Meredith, for your tour.
Okay, that's a great idea.
I'd definitely buy some.
Me too.
Wow. Thanks so much for your help.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling, and good luck with that crotch.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
If you have a punk problem, call us up, 206-600-1030, or email punkproblems@gmail.com.
So, hi, we have a caller here. What's your problem?
I have kind of two problems, which could be combined into one large problem, and that is, what are you supposed to do when you feel like you're starting to become like that next tier of punk where you just say back-in-the-day stories all the time? Because you're usually at shows with a lot of younger kids and you're kind of lacking the enthusiasm, and you're not really feeling the rock these days.
That's a punk rock problem that I feel affects a lot of us who try to still keep going to the shows. One thing that I have to say is it's good to keep in mind your older punk mystique that you have, which can be a very powerful tool in staying engaged with the young kids, you know, because you have things to offer that they don't have. Not that this is your question exactly, because I know you're not talking about what you have to offer them, but what they have to offer you. So I would have to say, if the rock isn't rocking you, maybe you need to, like, be engaging in it more. Are you playing in a band these days?
No.
And if no. you if you were to play in a band, do you feel like that would change the mix a little bit?
Maybe. Who knows? There's a lot of different variables, you know? Definitely playing music puts you in a different frame of mind when you're at a show versus just being somebody who goes to a show. You know, you have something to do, et cetera, and people engage with you a little bit differently than perhaps being the older person at the show.
Because when you're in a band, people don't necessarily look at you and wonder why you're there.
Or think you're a square.
Which is why the back-in-the-day stories are probably coming up, because you feel like you have to prove yourself a little bit to the people. Like, no, I'm not a square. I totally have this history.
And they don't.
Yeah, this hasn't even totally exactly started to happen yet, but I've noticed it's happening more and more, just where I'm like, oh, 10 years ago, yeah, shit, I did that. And I'm like, oh, 10 years ago, this kid was like 8 then.
Yeah, I mean, there's a time and a place for back-in-the-day stories. But you know what? Frankly, they need to be told. Not all the time, but the kids need to know. They need to appreciate their punk rock history, because it didn't come out of nowhere.
I do think that's true, but I also think that that doesn't take you away from being the back-in-the-day storyteller creep. So I think that what you need to do to avoid being the back-in-the-day storyteller creep is to possibly figure out, like, what kind of stories that you end up telling the kids a lot. Then kind of be like, so... but I'm not finding that kind of shit around here. You know, what is there to do that's like this? Or like, so I really miss doing this fucking wild ass thing. What are you doing on Saturday or whatever? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Use that as a launching pad instead of an end point.
Right. Like, if you're finding that the point of every story you're telling is that it was better then, fucking punker, or was like more exciting, whatever, then that's probably going to be alienating, and it's not really going to go anywhere. It's not going to make you feel better. But if the point is, it could be different, because it used to be different. Like, you know, there used to be somebody here selling books at shows. It could happen.
Right.
And I've seen it, you know, where kids will go, wow, they used to do that.
Really?
And then they'll do it.
They're like, what? You could sell coffee at the show?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't feel like I'm turning into the back in the day creep, and I feel very familiar with that. That's usually, I feel like I was real scared of that type.
Yeah.
Coming into punk, because that was usually the lecherous, like, older guy who's like going to show you the way or something. But yeah, it is a concern, just because, I don't know, man, I'm only getting older, and it's always like going to be an influx of younger kids. So I think, yeah, this is a good suggestion to be more positive and trying to figure it out with the kids rather than alienate them.
Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
My name's Nicole, and I'm from San Francisco. I'm 34, so I'm starting to have some of those, you know, getting a little bit older punk rock problems. And you know, some of my friends, well, actually, this is more for my martini-drinking friend. And, you know, I have the same problem sometimes with other kinds of drinks, like champagne and stuff. But how can you still be sophisticated and go to a punk rock show? And, you know, just like, you know, when you want a martini or something like that, and just not spill your drinks when you're in the pit. It gets kind of messy, and it gets expensive, too, all those drop drinks. I guess that's my big punk rock problem for the evening.
That's a great question. I feel like it's affected a lot of us, both in spilling our drinks in the pit as well as getting that that splash action when you're just sitting on the side of it.
That's right. And when you've just spent, you know, $6 for a drink, it's not like spending $2 for a drink. You know, you spill half of that on your pants, and that's a bummer. I mean, not for your pants. You can
older,
rub it into your pants.
You can afford it more, but it's still, you don't want it over and over again. Those kids are rough.
Yep. Well, one of the tools that we can use as older punks is to use a tool of the younger punks and drink faster.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Drinking faster is a good one, Erin, but I have to say sometimes when the drinks do cost $6,
true,
you don't want to drink them that fast because you're really trying to replace the beer with
right.
the martini. So another solution to this problem is to, they do make cocktails in a bottle for this very purpose. The club cocktail is not necessarily as bad as it sounds sometimes.
They're pretty good.
Have you had them?
I haven't had any.
I've had the mudslide, I think, and the margarita.
You know what? I think I had the pina colada one time. That's such a good idea.
Well, yeah, we recommend that. You can also go for a jar effect. You can get sort of a mason jar and put your drink in there, and that way you at least are not dealing with the wide lip.
You're right. A mason margarita. That sounds good.
Mm. It's bigger, too.
Way bigger. Sounds great. Oh, thank you so much for helping me out.
Well, thanks for calling.
I've been wondering what to do about this. Thank you.
I hope that helps.
Thank you so much for your help. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, that's about all the time we have for this month's Punk Problems. You can hear the show at MaximumRockandRoll.com.
Remember, if you have a punk problem, call us at 206-600-1030 or send an email to punkproblems@gmail.com.
We'll see you next month with more Punk Problems.